Hello and welcome to the Infinite Creators Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am your host, Chloe, and I want you to know that my intention behind this podcast is and always will be to expand your heart and your mind and help you discover new ideas, thoughts, and ways of being. I hope that with each episode, you leave this space feeling inspired, filled with love, and ready to take action in creating a life that is worth living. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. Okay. Hey everyone, today I have Keela on the podcast, and she is someone who found me on Instagram and wanted to share her story about birthing outside of the medical system. And of course, I am super in support of sharing these types of stories because although I don't post about it as often as I would like to, I am super passionate about natural birthing and birthing outside the medical system and empowering women to be more informed on their birth experience from like the start of their pregnancy to postpartum even, because I believe that, and I'm not even a mom and I've never had a baby and I've never been pregnant, but I believe that pregnancy and birth are two of the most like sacred and spiritual experiences that you could probably have in your entire life, especially as a woman. And it makes me just so sad and devastated that so many women are stripped of that experience because they've been mishandled and miscommunicated with and misspoken to by the medical system. And there are hundreds of thousands of accounts, if not millions, of that being the case for women. And it's just not talked about enough. So I love to break the stigma around this birth talk, and I want to start talking about it more. And so yeah, welcome Keela, and I'm super excited to hear your story because we've never talked before. So
totally, thanks for having me. I'm really stoked too.
Yeah. Okay, so let's dive right in. Tell me about when you first got pregnant and what your, because I want the audience to sort of hear like the contrasting experience, because your first birth was in a hospital and your next three births were not. So I'd love to hear like what your first experience was like, what deterred you from that, and then the remaining births.
Totally. Yeah. So I had my first baby when I was 21 and I'm 30 now. So I think typically like a lot of women can relate to the fact, like, especially if you're young, when you get pregnant, if you are just living life typically, like you've never been outside of the medical system yet, which I hadn't had like my quote unquote, like, let's call it an awakening of some sort of the corruption around everything, right? Like not just the medical system, literally everything. So I just was doing what I was told, right? And, you know, like I'm Samoan, so like the matriarch is so important in Samoan culture, but I was actually raised by my mom who is not Samoan. So like she typically like wisdom is passed on, you know, like from generation to generation. And because my mom was like, went the traditional route and was in the medical system and did that. Like she didn't really have much. She really didn't have much to give me. And so when I was 21 pregnant, I was just doing what I saw, what everyone does, you know? Mm-hmm. So I went this typical route and I got an OB, and I had no understanding that, like, you know, by the way, I just want to preface this too. Like, there's nothing wrong with like, if you don't align with like natural, like holistic, unmedicated, home birth, free births, whatever, however you want to like, you know, whatever box you want to like put it in, it's totally fine if that's not for you. But I think there's actually a really beautiful way if you are going to birth through the system to know that like your OB works for you. And I didn't know that when I was 21, you know, I didn't know that I had the power to like interview multiple of them and like really see like who was like, who felt like who did I feel safe with, you know, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Because I align so much with what you said in the beginning, Chloe, about how like pregnancy and motherhood, I 100% agree is, and because I've experienced it and I'm currently experiencing it, are two of the most sacred, like magical, transformative things I have ever experienced in my life. And you know, I feel like the energy of who's there with you when you are giving birth matters. I just do. But I didn't really understand that, you know, at 21, to be fair. I was just kind of like, what do we know when we're 21? Like, let's be honest. Come on.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's not talked about in school. Like, why aren't we talked about? Why isn't this talked about? Like, I don't totally understand. And like, all you know about birth is what you see in movies and television shows, which is probably the worst depiction of birth that you could ever imagine. And it makes it seem as if like the doctor is a hero and birth is like a medical emergency. And that just irritates me beyond end.
100%. I had no, I'll just put it like this. I was not like in my power whatsoever in that, you know, with my first pregnancy. I had completely given my power away to the medical system. I was like, you're gonna birth this baby for me, you know, like you're gonna bring it into the world like properly and you're gonna make sure like it's healthy. And like the reality is like they a lot of times really don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about your baby. It's literally transactional, you know.
Yeah, you're just another client, like get her in, get her out, like in and out.
Yes. And they want it as quickly as possible. That's why the induction rates are so high, you know, like they're trying to convince women like that you need to be induced at 39 weeks. Like what science is this actually based off of? Like, this is not, you know what I mean? This is
like, who came up with these rules?
100%, 100%. So I had my daughter in the hospital. And
did you feel a lot of fear going into it? Like anyone would without any knowledge or expertise around birth itself?
I think 100%. I think I was afraid. Oh man, I was afraid that like my body didn't know what to do. Like I literally, you know, I thought like my body doesn't know what to do. The doctor knows what my body needs to do. I was afraid of the pain because like you said, the only image I ever had in my head around birth was literally what we see in TV shows and in movies. And I was like, oh, that's god awful. I don't want to experience that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just, at the time in my life, I didn't have a lot of wise women to give me unbiased like pieces of experience. And almost every woman I came across when they found out I was pregnant, because I was working at the time, it was horror story after horror story after horror story. And I was like, oh mm-hmm. my goodness, you know, like I just don't want that.
Yes. Imprinting their experience onto you.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's sad to say, like I'll own up to that, like I totally gave my power away in that sense. And the only, you know, grace and like, let's call it like saving grace of that entire experience of birthing my daughter in the hospital was I genuinely had a good experience. However, there is a little caveat. I don't know if you want to include this, Chloe, so take this out or put it back. I don't know, but like,
no, go ahead, share
anything. I never gave them permission to vaccinate my daughter in the hospital. I never gave them permission. But when they took her away from me and they like do that whole horrible, I have like PTSD from it. Where they take
the baby. I can just feel it for you. That makes my stomach drop.
Yeah. It's like, if I cry, I'm really sorry. But they take the baby away to like clean her, you know, like make sure she's clean. They want to weigh her. They want to do all. And okay, mind you, I didn't have any knowing around like that's the golden hour, which is like you're supposed to spend, you know, skin to skin for a minimum of an hour, just you and baby, like bonding, maybe putting her on the breast. And like I had no idea around that, so they took her away from me right away, and they gave her the two vaccines that they give in the hospital without my consent.
Wow, and so unfortunate for you and just
and the baby general. Like yes
yeah like, and of course your daughter
Yeah, like I and I in this so the sad part is I had no idea until this is like months later where you get like your bill for what you owe from your birth in the hospital, and it you know they break every little thing down. Anything you touched, anything you breathed in the hospital, you're gonna pay for. And that's when I found out that they vaccinated her without my consent, and I was so heartbroken around that. And I get
I mean, I say, oh my gosh, but I'm actually not that surprised given how hospitals are.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Like, because I didn't have it in writing, because this is another thing. If you're going to have a hospital birth, you should 100% have a birth plan, and you should 100% have it written out and multiple copies of it, and that you're giving to your husband or your partner to give to the nurse, to give to the other nurse, to give to the doctor. And you have, and you know, like the worst part is that you need someone who's going to advocate for you, especially if you're going to birth in the medical system and you want and you have a desired birth that you want. Because when you are in the throes of labor, you know, like you, this
You're
is
not advocating for yourself.
no, you know what I mean? And they come in and they try and talk to you while you're in the middle of labor, and you're like, dude, leave me alone. Like, consult my safe person, whoever that is for you. Could be a doula, could be your husband, it could be your partner, whoever, and talk to them, you know, like let me be in this birth bubble.
Yeah, a little busy with a baby in the birth canal. Thank you.
Yeah, seriously. But I was treated really like, other than that, which is a huge thing, which I've had to work through. I've had years to work through. My daughter is 7, so I've worked through that, and I have, you know, moved through that. But other than that, like hiccup, if you would call it that, is that I was treated really well by the other nurses, and overall had a fine experience there.
Yeah. Real quick, I just want to interject for people listening because for me, this is all about like shifting this point of this conversation is shifting your perspective. Think about how bizarre it is from the baby's perspective that the moment you are born, a stranger with latex gloves on, which is already toxic and atrocious to be touching the skin, grabs you and throws you under artificial lighting, which is a whole other topic, and then is like aggressively like wiping you down, which doesn't need to happen, and then also cuts the umbilical cord within moments of being birthed and deprives you of one third of your blood supply, which still remains in the umbilical cord and in the placenta, and then injects you with needles with more toxic poison into your bloodstream, all within the first 5 minutes of being on the earth.
Literally.
Like, that's insane. That is insane to me.
It really is. And you
Like,
know,
that's
I've heard,
not normal. That's not normal.
no, not at all. And I've heard, you know, I don't have anything to like back up this as proof or anything, but I've just heard that babies don't even recognize that they are literally, they don't even know that they, like, they don't even have the grasp in their brain that they are not a part of mom anymore until they're like literally 3 months old. So it's why, like, you'll see why babies tend to like have, even if you like hand, this happens for instance for me with my newest baby, like I'll be like, hey, can you hold him real quick while I go take a shower, go to the bathroom. And like sometimes my son will like absolutely lose it, even though I'm handing him to a familiar voice, someone he's heard all his life growing in the womb. A safe, yes, you know, my husband has like the most beautiful, like soft, like calm energy, but he will scream and curdle bloody murder because he just wants me. And some women, especially if you're a first time mom, get really triggered by that because they're like, oh my gosh, I just want to be able to put him down or put her down, and I can't do anything. And it's like, dude, the baby can't even conceptualize that you are like that, you know, like you are no
Yeah, like
different
you're a
than she
different
is.
entity.
Right. They just think you're one. They literally just like in their brain think you guys are one and in
Which
harmony
is
all the
so
time.
beautiful in itself. It's so precious.
It is. It totally is. And I'll tell you, like from experience having four babies, the absolute look that my babies give me when they're in this newborn phase, that they are just so enamored with me, especially when they can start to see, and they and I co-sleep in bed share, obviously. I don't know if that's obvious, but obviously. every morning when they wake up and they like look at you, and then when they recognize like it's mommy, like I just cannot express to you, like I don't know anything more fulfilling than that, you know. And they don't give, I'm sorry, but they don't give dad the same look, even though we all sleep the same bed.
Sorry, dad.
Yeah. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Chloe. Like it's actually heartbreaking. And my heart has already broken for my past self that lived through that own experience, you know?
But it was all a part of your journey.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. So,
and last question on this birth experience, did you have any knowledge or understanding like about the placenta as like a being, as an organ? Like, did you know anything about the placenta?
With this birth? No idea. I think just no clue, like literally zero.
And like, so as soon as she was born, they obviously do what every hospital does, which is just like cord and take away your placenta without your consent.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Crazy. So just another quick interjection is that I don't know what the rate is of hospitals doing this, or how many hospitals do this, or at what price range, but majority of hospitals steal, and I say steal because they do steal, it's without your consent, and it is literally an organ of yours, and they take it. So they steal your placenta, and they can sell it for like upwards, like anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000, because the blood that is still in the placenta that never made it to the baby is very valuable in like stem cell research and cancer research. And they use placenta pieces in like skincare products. It's like a known thing. And totally. So that's pretty terrifying.
100%. And I would go so far to say that's obviously what happened to me as well, considering I was not given any sort of information about what happened to my placenta. So they obviously took it and did whatever with, you know what I mean? They never asked, would you like to, are you going to keep the placenta? Are you going to encapsulate it? You know, like, do you want to take it home? Nothing, zero.
But like, how crazy, like this organ that literally nourished, that first of all, that your body miraculously grew an external, like an unattached organ, and it nourished your baby for 10 months. And then you birth it. It's like a second part of the birth. Like the birth isn't finished until the placenta is out. And then they take it from you. Like, what a wild concept.
I know. I totally agree.
I just want people to like really question, like, that is just so bizarre.
It is very bizarre.
It's so bizarre, and it makes me so angry.
Yeah, I know. That's my, you know, like I told you, I literally mourn for that young version of myself. So I it's horrible.
Yeah, it's just crazy that so many women, like millions and millions of women, has had this experience, and they still don't even know that they had, like, they were so violated and taken advantage of.
Right. Right. And you know what? It's funny too, because I can't remember the word for it, but it's like when you don't want to admit something, because if you admit the thing, then your whole, like, everything else shatters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, I know, like I have personally met and spoken to so many women who almost like gaslight themselves into believing, like, oh no, my, yes, like, oh, it was fine, like, no, everything was fine, you know, because the second you, this is kind of what happened to me, like, I was like, oh no, my hospital birth was fine, like, everything was, you know, the baby was, she was perfect, she was healthy, and we nursed, and, you know, I didn't tear, and, like, we got in, and we got out, and then, you know, the second I recognized, like, oh no, they, you know, they gave her vaccines without my consent, like, my brain fought that, like, oh no, they didn't, like, it's like it went against myself, you know, like, oh, maybe, yeah, you know, like, it just was a mind f, dude. So the second I had to admit, like, oh no, they really did do that without my consent, it shattered this whole like, oh, you had this perfect cookie cutter hospital birth, and I got to actually truly see it for what it was and evaluate it and at least come to terms so that I could process it and then move forward. You know what I mean?
And I think there's something to be said about what you're explaining here for anyone listening who has had a hospital birth and is recognizing that they experienced some like forms of this like betrayal and distrust from the hospital system is like, don't put it on yourself or make, you know, like don't make it seem like it was your fault. Like you have a right to be angry, and like you should honor like the grief that you're feeling, the anger that you're feeling, because you it wasn't your fault. Like you didn't know any better. And most women don't know any better. So if that is your experience, like validate like your emotions and like feel them and like express and be angry, because you should be angry. You should feel
100
grief,
percent.
you know, because it's not fair. And it's terrifying to know that you could experience like that deep of betrayal where someone literally, you know, vaccinates your child without your consent, when that's some people's worst nightmare. Like that's my worst nightmare.
Yes. Girl, yes. It's horrible. And that's the worst part about it, I think, is that the lie that is being okay, what's the word here? Thank
Perpetuated.
you. through modern like hospital, like you know, this medical system around this is that women have literally, I'm one of them, I experienced this, are literally believing that they have your best interest. Like that's where the lie, literally the most basic lie stems from, and that just go overflows into everything else, you know, is that like that they like you really truly are being told that they have your best interest. They want what's best for you. They like you should trust them. They know what they're doing. You know, they're trustworthy. And it's like, bro, they're not trustworthy, clearly. You know?
It's just, and I don't know what to say about it. Like I'm sure there are many medical professionals that have the best intentions, but they don't know any better because they were also taught by a corrupt, like
Sure.
broken system. But
Right.
then there are people that just, there are some whores. I am follow way too many Instagram accounts about birth horror stories, and there are some people to be wary of in the medical system. That is for sure.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Okay, so let's move into your second birth. So that happened, and then when you found out that information about your daughter and like the lack of consent for the vaccines, is that what sort of catapulted you into like, okay, I need to be more educated on like my birthrights and stuff like that?
Yep, it totally did. Like it blew my mind, you know. So like I went through a whole thing when that happened. But yes, it was one of the biggest pieces moving me into like the alternative. I hate that I have to call it the alternative birth space, you know, when like it's literally just physiological birth. Like it's literally what he, I don't know. It's just
Just
so
normal
crazy.
birth. Just a
Thank you.
birth.
Literally. So that exactly that, and I also, this is going to sound so strange, but I also like randomly discovered Ellen Fisher, for anyone who doesn't or does or doesn't know, but like she was a YouTuber, a mom living in Hawaii, and I was like, and I was vegan at the time, and I was like just so, I just loved everything she shared about veganism, and then she obviously started sharing more about like her births, and I kid you not, when I found out that this woman had a home birth, I was like, there's no way. Like I was
You're
like
like,
the
you
rest
can
of
do
the world.
that?
Yes, literally. I was like, you're telling me that women still have babies? Like I that blew my absolute mind. I'm not even kidding.
That is so
And
funny. That was your experience, because that's exactly how I found home birthing. Like 6 or 7 years ago, when I was vegan, I found her YouTube channel, and then I saw her home birthing video, and I was like, I want to do that. And since then, I've
yes.
been obsessed.
That and that, so she was a huge piece that like moved the needle even deeper for me. And then she would share all of her resources. I mean, literally, I mean, she was a huge part of it. So, like, I just went like nose first into all of the things she would share. I started researching all about it. I started even so far as like she shared about how they family plan and how they use natural family planning. That, of course, we're never taught that. I had no idea you could naturally family plan. What do you mean? I have this cycle that I should know about when I'm ovulating and when I'm not ovulating and how to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, why you're like, there's methodology to this.
One, yeah, literally. So I was just so, it was like, my mind was blown. It was that just mind blown. And I was obsessed. I was obsessed with it. I went head deep into it. And there was just this inner knowing as I was going through all of that and like doing my own research that it felt like a hug. I don't even know how to explain it. It felt like a breath of fresh air. It felt like,
oh, just relief. Like, this is what, yes, my spirit knew that was possible for my first birth and didn't get to have it. And now you found the solution and you're like, thank God.
Yeah, 100%. And so far I started even asking my family from my Samoan side, like, I wanted to know about like our ancient practices of how they gave birth. And like, my culture has been giving birth at home, just like many cultures, just like almost every human, obviously, but has been giving birth at home forever. And they would even give birth in the ocean, like just remarkable things where I'm like, oh, that was my dream, by the way. Once I found out that my ancestors gave birth in the ocean, I was like, done. Like, sign me up.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yes, dude. And that was like, I was like, if I could get one of these babies and we could somehow, like, I could somehow be somewhere on the beach with them giving birth before we're done having kids, this would be a dream. But obviously that didn't happen, but it's totally fine. I'm fine. but yeah, so then I knew instantly, like, I'm like, when I was pregnant with my second baby, who was my son, I was like, we're having a home birth. And my husband was just like, I just want to preface this too. I'm very lucky. My husband is someone who is, I've never had to like
convince.
He's not, thank you. He's not combative. He's never, every time I've shared all these very radical decisions with him about child rearing and the way I want to raise our children, he has always trusted me so deeply, which is one of the biggest blessings of our partnership. So when I told him, like, I want to give birth at home, I didn't have to go, because some women really truly have to, at the same time that they're trying to like prepare their bodies as they're pregnant, wanting to have a home birth, they're also trying to like prepare their husband, you know, or their partner, and they're trying to,
yeah,
you know, and some partners are very, very, like, there's a lot of resistance there, you know?
Which is so interesting to me, because it's like, I'm sorry, who's the one who's pushing the baby out of the vagina?
For sure. No, for sure. And like, you know,
are you giving birth? I'm confused.
Yes, exactly. So like, I am very thankful that's never been the case with me. And my husband's always been like, okay, cool. This, you know, like, you trust yourself. He's like, I trust you more than anything, you know? So if you're telling me that you trust yourself to do this, then like, let's do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we were in California at the time that I was pregnant with him, and we moved here to Arizona when I was kind of around, I don't know, 20 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. So I had to navigate, you know, figuring out how to find a midwife here, because I did want a midwife. Obviously, coming from a hospital birth, I did want a midwife. And then knowing that, like, I was going to be able to interview midwives, you know, that I didn't have to just find a midwife picker, because whatever, it was like, I knew that I had this knowing now that, like, no, I'm in charge. I have a birth that I desire, and I can find the birth team that supports my desires and respects my desires, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I found the most incredible woman here. She's like,
how did you go about doing that? Fine, for anyone who doesn't know, like, how would you find a midwife or like even start that process?
Yeah, I 100% would. So I was in like Facebook groups here. So I would find let's say we'll do Phoenix, like Phoenix mom groups or something like that, or like naturally minded Phoenix mom groups or whatever. You know, and that's what I did. I joined all of those. And then I was just in there, like, asking questions, like, has anybody given birth, like, in the last year? Like, who was your midwife? Who was your birth team? Why would you recommend them? You know, please share with me. And hundreds, like, I think that's one of the best ways to do it, especially because you're getting, like, from the horse's mouth experience, you know, like, versus like going on Google and like searching midwives in my area. And then you find their website, and then you like, see reviews or something. It's like, it's just really nice. The Facebook groups were more personal to be able to read yeah. through all of these stories that these women had and why they felt like this midwife was awesome or not awesome, you know?
Yeah. And I will say too, like, something to be weary of, I think, in the midwife world is that there are lots of midwives that will, like, come, like, they're trained in the Western medical system and they're very much yes. in alignment with, like, what hospitals do. So often you actually can't, you could have equally as traumatic almost of a home birth with a midwife if you didn't
100%.
Have a right midwife.
100%. I'm so glad you mentioned that because it's true. They, you know, they are reporting to, it's not the same system as like allopathic medicine, but it's a secondary system that is still ran by the government, if that makes sense. Yeah. Right. So, and a lot, you know, like if they're licensed, for instance, like they don't want to lose their license. Right. So mm-hmm. there's certain protocols and this, you know, I know that this works state to state, it's all different. And then I don't know how it works like country to country, but that they don't want to operate outside of what their license obviously allows them. And so, you know, I'll just give an example. If your state law is that like, you cannot go past 42 weeks, you know, like, and you cannot take on a client and let them go past 42 weeks. If you do so, your license will be up for, you know, suspension, whatever, then, yeah. you know, you risk that relationship, like you're saying, who you find a midwife and she's not going to honor that you're past 42 weeks, even though baby is completely healthy and fine and you're fine, you know, yeah. she reports to a system, you know? And so 100%, like you have to do your due diligence. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, I found this midwife. She is like I call her like our third grandma. She's like an older woman, which I love so much. There's so much like wisdom to be, you know, to be taught there. And like, I went in and I just laid it all out on the table for her. And I said, this is the deal. This is, you know, like, this is where I'm at. And like, you can either take it or leave it, basically. And
amazing.
thankfully she was on board, and I, you know, I won't share her name just for the sake of protecting her, because she is a midwife that does operate under the lens of these practices, like, you know, like she has her license and she has to, but she took me on personally, understand, like, because she understood where I was coming from and how much depth and research and responsibility that I was willing to take for my birth.
Yeah.
And I, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like this, I don't know, like under the table contract between me and her that like, hey, this is what I want. Like, we're not going to get to a point where all of a sudden I blame you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if something doesn't happen, like, I want to take full responsibility of this. I just want a woman who has, you know, experience and has wisdom and is a safe place. And I instantly felt safe when I met her. So I just like had this mm-hmm. feeling it was going to work out. And so it has. And she was my midwife for all three of my.
That's so special.
Yes. And, it was incredible. So with my son about the birth, she was intended to be there, but my son came so flipping fast. I was only in labor. I was literally in labor. Like, and when I say labor, I mean, I literally started feeling contractions and then he came 2 hours later.
Wow. That's incredible. Love that for you.
It was, I was like, and then, you know, it was so funny because after I did it, I was like, oh my gosh, like, why, you know, I could do this over and over and over and over again. I can have 10 kids. If this is what natural birth is like, I don't know what people are talking about. It was incredible. It was my birth with my son is what I would describe as what maybe you've heard in the birth realm as like a euphoric birth.
Yeah.
And I won't say it was completely pain-free, but it almost was in that sense. Like, when I was riding the waves of labor, it was not like this really intense, difficult, challenging thing. It was just very profound, honestly. You know, it was really, really beautiful. And my midwife, and my husband, he wasn't even there. It was just me and my mom. Yeah, it was just me and my mom. And thankfully, my mom's the one who caught my son. And my daughter was almost two. She was like barely waking up and she's like coming out to me, like making all these moans and groans, trying to push this baby out. She's all distraught, like, what's going on? And
you're like, all good.
Yeah. I was like, I was literally in the middle of pushing him out and I'm trying to like calm her down. I'm like, it's okay, baby. Like, it's all fine. We're good. And then I'm like going back and forth from like pushing him out to talk. Yeah.
Did you want to give birth in a birthing pool, or you were just like, I'll just do it?
Nope. It was supposed to be in a birthing pool and we had the pool blown up, but obviously there's no water in it because we didn't know he was going to come that fast. So I was literally just on my couch and he was born on our couch. and he was beautiful and he was perfect. And it was, oh my gosh, dude, it was like out of all of my births, my second birth was kind of like the birth of my dreams, if that makes sense. Like what I envisioned it to be, the intention I wanted it to be. And I got it. My other two after that wasn't quite the same, but still really cool.
But I do just want to highlight for any women listening, like the words that you just spoke, like euphoric birth of my dreams, barely felt pain. Like these are terminology, this is terminology and dialogue that can be used around birth, that can be experienced by women. Like you don't have to listen anymore to the stories that you've been told your whole life, to the fear, to the worry, to the thought that birth is an emergency. Like birth can be this relaxed, euphoric, peaceful, easy experience.
100%. It's so true.
Yeah. And so what did you, would you say there was any specific techniques or like breathing or headphones or anything you did specifically in that birth that helped you just be easy, or all of a sudden you were pregnant and the next minute you're going into contractions?
Yeah. So that's a great question. My intention was to have like headphones on, and I had this like hypnobirthing app that, like I had intended to be listening to while I was like in labor land per se. But it all happened so fast. So that wasn't really what it came to be. But however, I think truly the one, like one technique, I'll call it that, during labor that I think made it like really, like I didn't feel like I was just like on a mountain of pain, you know, like every time it didn't feel like I was just getting hit by contraction. I think it was a lot of knowing, I had done so much research and knowing what a contraction is. So like, sometimes like your logical brain kicks in and like, if you don't know, you just feel a contraction for the first time. All you perceive it as is pain. But if you actually know what a contraction is, and you know that it's not pain, like you're not, you know, your body's not hurting you, your body's moving baby. When every time a contraction comes, it's literally helping baby move through the birth canal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so just that simple mind shift of me knowing that every time a contraction was coming, it was almost like I wanted it to happen. Right. It was almost like I would
like welcoming it almost.
Exactly. Like I was like, and that's just the power of the brain, right? Like that's all it took was for me to know that. And so every time I was being hit, like a contraction was coming, I was like, it was almost like in my head, I was like, yes, like baby's coming. Like that means baby's coming so soon. And then as they got more intense, it's like, I literally with my brain just kept saying, oh my gosh, like we're getting closer. So it was kind of like, I guess, reframing your mindset around what's going on in labor and understanding what it truly is.
Like you're celebrating the contractions, like every contraction is one step closer to the baby coming.
Exactly. And it might not look like that outwardly. Like it doesn't mean like you have to pretend, right? You still might be like feeling intense sensations. So you're not just like, you might not be smiling and laughing and giggling. And most of the time you can't talk through these contractions because this is the point where like baby's literally being moved through the canal, but it's in your head, right? It's in your mind that you're welcoming them. And you're having that positive self-talk with yourself. Like, oh my gosh. And that's what I mean. Like I was literally in my brain telling myself, oh my gosh, baby is coming. Like he's really gonna come.
I even like the transition of words, like in the Free Birth Society podcast. I don't know if you've listened, but a lot of the moms,
of course,
they'll say, like, instead of saying pain, they just say sensations. And I think that's such a, like, words are so powerful. They're like spells. So if you can stop associating with the word pain, like, oh, pain is coming, or oh, it's painful, rather like, I'm just experiencing really intense sensations. I feel like that in itself feels lighter and less intimidating or scary.
It totally does. And that's what I mean. It's like, it's very simple shifts. Like, you don't have to have this like thorough routine of what you think you're going to have to do through labor. You know what I mean? It's like these little tiny shifts, like you just said, like from negative self-talk to more positive self-talk, stop, you know, like literally shifting from pain to sensation. It's what I've used all through every single birth. And it's miraculously like changed it like hugely. I feel like.
Amazing. And then did you, for these, like now your two births, did you experience any postpartum depression with your first daughter?
I did not. Okay, I'm one of those just lucky ones. I feel like I haven't gone through postpartum depression with any of them. I have suffered with like postpartum rage.
Interesting. Never heard of that.
Yes. So the constant dip of your hormones, which typically will lead lots of women into like a postpartum depression for whatever reason, and however my body is wired, doesn't lead me to depression. It's led me to rage, on a deeper level is not necessarily solely connected to just the birth. Like to be fair, it's more like trauma based, I'm sure, like from in childhood and from my mom, like it's not
like maybe rage that was locked into your cells and tissues, and then like all the movement of having a baby like released that almost
right, 100% sure. So it's not just like, oh, I'm not just like, I just had a baby and it caused postpartum rage. It's a culmination of my life for sure. So I did deal with that a little bit, but.
What did you do with your placenta after your son's birth?
With my son's birth, because we were in the apartment, I had froze it at first with the intention of encapsulating it. And then I later, this is my own, from my own personal research and just also from, like information from my midwife, like your placenta is also like filtering out all the bad stuff too. You know, it's kind of like our liver in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. Our liver filters kind of like the bad things out. The placenta is also doing that. And the second I heard that, my brain was like, I don't really know if I want to be consuming that then. If I'm not saying that it doesn't overpower like the benefits to it either.
Yeah.
It just, the second for me, when I heard it, I was like, oh, okay. You know, whatever, I left it in my freezer. And then ultimately we just got rid of, with my son, and we just got rid of it because we were in the apartment. Once we were in our home, like the home I have now with my third and fourth baby, we just, we buried it. But yeah, that's what we did.
Nice. Yeah. For anyone listening who doesn't know, there's like quite a few things I guess you could do with the placenta. But for me, I think the thing that resonates with me is like acknowledging that every other mammal in the animal kingdom would eat their placenta like immediately after birth, like within the first few minutes, you know? So I think that's an interesting thing to consider. And also if you didn't want to eat it, there's other things you could do like in the herbal world, like as a herbalist, I've heard from a few like really renowned herbalist with lots of experience that you can make a medicinal extract, like a tincture. It's like a liquid extract of your placenta into a tincture. So like you mix it with alcohol, obviously, so it's preserved. And that tincture, like made from the placenta, can actually be used as like a medicine anytime your child gets sick, because it's like perfectly catered to them. And it has all the like nutrients and minerals and vitamins that they required while they were growing. And it's like specific to them. So you could make just a few tincture bottles with simple extractions from the placenta. And then their shelf life is like 15 years. So you can have this tincture for ages.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So if you didn't want to eat it.
Yeah, I never knew that. And that's something I would 100% consider had I known any of that prior to my 40s.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's so cool. There's so many things. And there are many, like, there also are reports of moms who, like, maybe their first birth, they did nothing with the placenta and they had really bad postpartum depression. And then some women attribute, like, eating the placenta, whether you eat it, some people like chop it up, freeze it, put it into chunks and blend it into a smoothie, which I know sounds like insane, but to me, I just think that's normal. And then other women will like have it freeze dried and then blend it into a powder and then encapsulated. So,
yep.
But yeah, plenty of options to do with the placenta, but don't disregard it.
For sure. Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then moving into your third, any like complications or key things that happened in your third and fourth, and how did you handle those?
So like my third, actually during my pregnancy at about 15 weeks, we were in California visiting family, and I went to the bathroom, and when I went to the bathroom, there was just blood everywhere, which this could be triggering. Sorry, I guess I should have gave a trigger warning.
That's okay.
There was blood everywhere, and my heart, you know, like any woman who was pregnant, just sank. And I had assumed, long story short, okay, this is obviously the beginnings of probably a miscarriage.
Hey guys, just a quick interruption to let you know that if you'd like to continue listening to the remaining 40 minutes of this episode and Keela's birth experiences with her last two children, including what's called an in-call birth, you're going to have to sign up for the Infinite Creators Patreon community. All of my full-length episodes are now always uploaded to my Patreon for my community to listen to and gain exclusive benefits from. It's only about $3 a month to be a part of my podcast community, and it grants you full access to all existing episodes, some exclusive episodes that are more personal to me, as well as any extensive resource list that the show may include, including book recommendations, specific products, and amazing discount codes. So if you'd like to be a part of that community, you can click the link in the show notes below and make an account to join. There you can also access the remaining 40 minutes of this episode, as well as any episodes from the past that were previously uploaded to my Patreon. Okay, that's all for now. I hope you can enjoy the rest of this episode from inside of my Patreon community and benefit from the remainder of this powerful, empowering birth story of Keela. That concludes this episode for today. I acknowledge you for taking the time out of your day to expand your level of awareness with me. I really hope that you enjoyed it. And if you did, I encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe. Also, if you choose to share it on your Instagram story, feel free to tag me at infinite.creators and let me know what you loved about it. If you wrote a review, don't forget to screenshot it and email it to me so I can send you a free copy of my cookbook or my dream life workbook. Thank you again so much for listening. Your support means the world to me, and I hope that you have a beautiful rest of your day.